Well, good Friday to you all, and welcome to this third day of December, day 337 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter. I am your brother, your Bible reading coach, someone who is showing up with you each day to spend some time together now in the pages of the Bible, to let the Bible direct our hearts, our affections, our imaginations, everything about us, to the one who is the living Word of God, the one alone who has the words of life. So we come to Him. And I'm coming to you from this tin can turtle, the Airstream trailer, the mobile studio and abode of Heather, myself, and of course, the Wonder Dog, Finn. We are in Yemisi, South Carolina, in the low country of this beautiful state. We just got here, just spent our first full day here, and the weather was beautiful, and it was great to spend time with my daughter and son-in-law. It was good. Thank God for these good times, right? With family. My desire for you is that you would have this kind of time during this season as well. Time with those that you love. Well, today, friends, we're going to come to the one who has all the love we could ever imagine for us. We are His family. You are His child. And now we get to spend some time hearing words that direct us to Him. Today it's going to be in the book of Romans, chapters 13 through 16. This is the word of the Lord. Romans 13. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants, sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Pay your taxes too, for these same reasons. For government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Owe nothing to anyone, except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Romans 14. Accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one person believes it's right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't, and those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You must each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord, and if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to God." Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. I know I am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it's wrong, then for that person it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and to build each other up. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they have decided is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you're sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you're not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. Romans 15. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, "The insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me." Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other, as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promise he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. That is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "For this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name." And in another place it is written, "Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles." And yet again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth." And in another place Isaiah said, "The heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles. They will place their hope on him." I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I am fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness. You know these things so well, you can teach each other all about them. Even so, I've been bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that all you need is this reminder. For by God's grace, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders, and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way I have fully presented the good news of Christ, from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. I have been following the plan spoken of in the Scriptures, where it says, "Those who have never been told about him will see, and those who have never heard about him will understand. In fact, my visit to you has been delayed so long because I have been preaching in these places. But now I have finished my work in these regions, and after all these long years of waiting, I am eager to visit you. I am planning to go to Spain, and when I do, I'll stop off in Rome. And after I have enjoyed your fellowship for a while, you can provide for my journey. But before I come, I must go to Jerusalem to take a gift to the believers there. For you see, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia have eagerly taken up an offering for the poor among the believers in Jerusalem. They were glad to do this because they feel they owe a real debt to them. Since the Gentiles received the spiritual blessing of the good news from the believers in Jerusalem, they feel the least they can do in return is to help them financially. As soon as I have delivered this money and completed this good deed of theirs, I will come to see you on my way to Spain. And I am sure that when I come, Christ will richly bless our time together. Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to join in my struggle by praying to God for me. Do this because of your love for me, given to you by the Holy Spirit. Pray that I will be rescued from those in Judea who refuse to obey God. Pray also that the believers there will be willing to accept the donation I am taking to Jerusalem. Then, by the will of God, I will be able to come to you with a joyful heart, and we will be an encouragement to each other. And now may God, who gives us his peace, be with you all. Amen. Romans 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church in Centria. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many and especially to me. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me. I am thankful to them, and so are all the Gentile churches. Also give my greetings to the church that meets in their home. Greet my dear friend Epaphras. He was the first person from the province of Asia to become a follower of Christ. Give my greetings to Mary, who has worked so hard for your benefit. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who are in prison with me. They are highly respected among the apostles and became followers of Christ before I did. Greet Ampelatius, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stychius. Greet Apelles, a good man whom Christ approves, and give my greetings to the believers from the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet the Lord's people from the household of Narcissus. Give my greetings to Tryphena and Tryphosa, the Lord's workers, and to dear Persis, who has worked so hard for the Lord. Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. Give my greetings to Asyncritus, Phlygian, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brothers and sisters who meet with them. Give my greetings to Philologus, Julia, Nereus and his sister, and to Olympas, and all the believers who meet with them. Greet each other with a sacred kiss. All the churches of Christ send you their greetings. And now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for those who cause division and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you've been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. But everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. This makes me very happy. I want you to be wise in doing right and stay innocent of any wrong. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends you his greetings, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, the one writing this letter for Paul, send you my greetings too, as one of the Lord's followers. Gaius says hello to you. He is my host and also serves as a host to the whole church. Erastus, the city treasurer, sends you his greetings. And so does our brother Quartus. Now all glory to God, who is able to make you strong, just as my good news says. This message about Jesus Christ has revealed his plan for you Gentiles, a plan kept secret from the beginning of time. But now, as the prophets foretold and as the eternal God has commanded, this message is being made known to all Gentiles everywhere, so that they, too, might believe and obey him. All glory to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Yes, may Jesus Christ, the only wise God, may he now give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Let's end this with Paul's prayer from Romans 15, where he says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And to that I say, Amen. That's Paul's heart and why he's written. He wants God's people to live with confident hope, even in the midst of persecution. He wants them to remember what they already know, the gospel of Christ. He wants them to remember to live out the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit. The only person that can live the Christian life is Christ, certainly not me. We get to participate with him. But make no mistake, it's always him living his life in and through us that makes any difference in our lives or in this world. Paul knows that they know, but he wants to remind them of what they know. And oh, how we need to be reminded. Paul actually says, you know these things so well you can teach others all about them. Even so, I've been bold enough to write to you about some of these points, knowing that all you need is this reminder. Paul's reminder is that our life, our ministry, our call is to be lived out in the power of the Holy Spirit through the abiding life of Christ. This life in Christ is the source of our confident hope. That's the key. When Paul's considering his own work, he says, I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me. That's the key for all of us. Christ in you, working through you. Paul says that he's not ashamed of this gospel. For I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work. This gospel has the power to change a life, and this gospel is accomplished from start to finish by him. Be confident in him. Let the reality of his work in life in you fill you with confident hope. May we all press forward in this confidence that we find in Christ, his abiding life in us, regardless of what we encounter in this life, whether things given or things taken away, through it all, may we be able to stand in confident hope, not in ourselves or circumstances, but entirely on him, through him. He is thoroughly good, completely able. He works things out according to his own purposes and his plans, and they're all done for our good. Be confident of that. That's the truth. And the prayer of my own heart today is that I will live in the confident hope that is mine through Christ. That's a prayer that I have for my family, for my wife, for my daughters, my son. And that's a prayer that I have for you. so. Well, dailyradiobible.com is our home base out here, and that's where you are always welcome to stop on by. We'd love to hear from you. We certainly do. Hey, before I let you all go, I just want to remind you that we have two other podcasts that we produce each and every day. One is kind of a supplement to this one here. It's called Journey, and it follows what is referred to as the Revised Common Lectionary. It's a compilation of readings that are on a 3-year cycle, and so over the course of 3 years, the whole Bible will be read, and it's often used in churches all around the world. This lectionary follows what's referred to as the church calendar, and so during this season, you'll have a compilation of Advent readings, and then later you'll have Lenten readings and all the other special days and holidays throughout the course of the year. The readings are shorter. The podcast is about 10 to 15 minutes a day, and many of you who are listening to it are kind of using it as a supplement. I hear that folks, before they go to bed, this is the podcast that they'll listen to. The readings are more reflective, meditative, and we combine in the podcast a time of silent prayer, and then we have directed prayer where together we pray the Lord's Prayer each and every day. If you haven't given it a listen, let me encourage you to try it out. Or if you know someone who you think would benefit from this podcast, invite them to it. The other podcast that we do each and every day is for kids. It's called DRB Kids. And I love this little thing. It's every day. It's about 5 minutes long. Many families use it together. Lots of kids are using it before they go to school in the morning. A lot of great ways that families have been using the DRB Kids podcast. One of the most amazing things about this podcast has nothing to do with me. It's when the kids actually do readings in the Bible. That's right. They actually do the podcast for us. And that's just amazing when you get to hear these kids reading from the Bible, doing the podcast. It's the best. So if you've got a child in your life, consider sharing the DRB Kids podcast with them. You can find both of those podcasts anywhere that you get yours. Well, hey, I'm going to go ahead and let you guys go, but tomorrow I'll be here in the low country of South Carolina, here in the Tin Can Turtle with Heather and the Wonder Dog. What do you say we all show up again here tomorrow and let's do it again? Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I plan on being here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let us always remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care. Bye-bye.